And Father, how they are clues, and help us to be able to draw from that, Lord, the understanding that we need to be able to go forth from here a little wiser, a little more in tune with you and your Holy Spirit, a little more confident in your work that you're up to in our society and around the world. Father, we praise you for it. Father, help us to be aware of our surroundings, aware of the life and the things that are happening right around us. Help us get beyond ourselves to be able to see what is happening in other people's lives, and to see what is happening in the spiritual realm around us and around other people's lives, Lord, and to draw from that and be able to use that for your advantage and for the advantage of the kingdom of God. Father, we're trusting you for all these things. We pray you for it in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Amen. How many of you drive a car or have driven a car? Anybody? Anybody ever ridden in a car with somebody else? Okay, most likely if you haven't done at least one, like maybe Bennett up here. Not sure if Malachi's driving yet or not, but we got a couple among us that might have had ridden with somebody else. If you have either driven a car or you've ridden with somebody else, you have figured out that there are certain things along the roadway that alert you to something. Okay, I would call them signs, right? Or something like that. Obviously, a red octagon sign with some white lettering on it that says STOP, right? That means that you are to come to a complete stop. Okay, look both ways. We used to tell in UPS, we'd say left, right, left, proceed with caution. Right? And so you left, right, left, and because you're going to get hit from the left, and that's the side you're going to get hurt from the most. And so we tell them to look twice to the left. Anyway, left, right, left, proceed with caution. That's what you do at a stop sign. Okay, well, if you come up on a yellow yield sign at an intersection, that means that drivers must slow down and yield the right-of-way to pedestrians and vehicles that are approaching from another direction. Right? Somebody doesn't have a stop sign, in other words, so you need to yield to use caution as you proceed through that. There's other signs that we might see along the road that are more in place as a warning, right? They might be referring to something that is directly ahead of you that you need to be aware of. Okay, they might say like construction ahead or something like that, right? I remember I was a driver or manager for UPS for a few years, and as part of that, there's, some of you know this road going north to Casper. It's, you know, kind of, it can be a treacherous road at times. Well, this was summertime. It was a pretty decent weather out, all that kind of stuff, and I was flying along. You know, UPS, you just hold it to the floor because they have governors in them, so as fast as the vehicle will go is as fast as you will go. And so I'm just driving along, heading up, and I knew that there was construction along that road. But, you know, there's always a sign that says construction ahead or construction 1 mile ahead or something that kind of told you where that was. Well, I came up over the crest of a hill, and right as I got to the crest, there was cars that were backed up for about 2 miles on that road. And they were backed up past the sign that says construction ahead. Does that make sense? So I did not see a sign. I'm just driving along. And all of a sudden, I come over the crest of the hill, and here's cars in my lane stopped, literally stopped. And the truck I was using at that time had a bad brake something on one side. And so basically, it locked up one wheel. And I slid. I mean, it left a black mark the length of this building as I'm sliding up behind this truck. And a guy happened to glance in his mirror, and he actually pulled off to the side because he thought I was going to hit him. I let up so that I could get out in the other lane and not hit anybody. But so anyway, long story short, a construction ahead sign would have warned me that I was about to come up on stop traffic. And that's literally what the signs along that road had said. Construction ahead, beware of stop traffic, or, you know, something like that. Well, I just hadn't gotten to that sign yet. Okay, so some signs are out there. They're a warning for us. It gives us something that, you know what, there's something coming that you need to be aware of. It might be as simple as, you know, maybe it's just a picture, like a curved arrow with 45 miles per hour under it, right? You ever see something like that? You're driving and you know, even on highway speed roads, sometimes they'll have a 45 mile an hour curve. Okay, and so it doesn't say anything else. It just gives you a little blurb, a little curved arrow with a mile per hour under it. Okay, well, when you see things like that, it is alerting you that, hey, something is ahead. If you see a sign like that, or a construction ahead, or a curved, or whatever it is based on a fact that there is a circumstance immediately ahead of you that needs to be heeded, or you're going to have some serious detrimental consequences, right? You don't slow down on that 45 mile an hour curve. You can roll or whatever. There's going to be some negative thing if you do not heed that sign. Well, there's also another type of sign, a road sign, that is a little more what I would call ambiguous. Okay, not quite as, you know, you have to kind of think about it when you see a construction sign or whatever too, but these kind of signs are warning about a potential hazard or a potential situation that may or may not be present. Okay, anybody ever seen like a bridges may be icy? Okay, or one that's pretty common in Wyoming is high wind area. Okay, and then a lot of times they have that little orange sock that's usually standing straight out to one side. Okay, but those are signs that they don't necessarily tell you that it is, there's high wind today. Okay, they don't necessarily tell you that, you know, that the bridge is icy. Okay, it is a sign that is meant to keep you continuously aware. Okay, I call it year-round aware, so that you have to think about it just a little bit. Okay, now, are you following me so far? Okay, there's different kinds of signs, and each one is going to have you either, a stop sign is real easy. I mean, the youngest of our congregation could tell you what to do at a stop sign. You stop, right? Or maybe that curved arrow one with the 45 miles per hour, we can see that and kind of think it through pretty quickly in our mind that, oh yeah, I need to let off. There's a curve ahead. Okay, well, these kind that I'm talking about here are more that you kind of have to think about it a little bit more. If you see a sign that says bridges may be icy, but it's 90 degrees out, okay, you're probably not going to think twice about it. You've driven past that sign. It's the middle of summer. You know, you don't hesitate. You don't slow down. Oh, I better check for ice. You don't do all that because you have processed in your mind that it's 90 degrees. There's no ice on the bridge, right? It's a potential hazard at different times of year. Say, if I see that same sign and it snowed the night before and it's 27 degrees out, okay, now your senses are going to be alerted to slow down, okay, to use caution, to drive with anticipation that the conditions are right for what that sign says to be true, that they are true right now, okay, or potentially true right now, and I need to act on that. Okay, well, the King James Bible uses the word sign a lot. Okay, now they're not stop signs and construction signs. I'm going to kind of relate it to some of that. That's why I'm telling you all this ahead of time. But it uses that word sign. These things were for a sign. And it will list out something, or it will, a sign was given, or I'll explain it kind of more as we go on. But the King James Bible uses the word sign 76 times. Okay, not just once or twice, but a lot. Sometimes two or three times in the same verse, as we see. It is used throughout the Bible, referring to an indicator or a miracle event that signified something that God wanted to reveal. Okay, signs were given to reveal something or to help somebody understand something, as you'll see. For example, the first time that the word sign is used in the Bible is when God is giving instructions to Moses about how he is to lead his people out of the bondage of Egypt. You kind of remember that burning bush story, okay? That's the first time that we see that. I want to read that passage to you out of Exodus chapter 4. We're going to read 4:1-9. And I little disclaimer. I'm not sure if we'll have them on the screen this morning. We had a glitch with the PowerPoint that I gave to Elijah, so I don't know if he's going to be able to get stuff up or not. But it's in Exodus chapter 4, 1 through 9. It says this. God's talking to Moses, and it says, Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord has not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, unto Moses, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand again into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." Okay, now, I want you to notice something in these verses. Okay, notice how the signs that God displays have a voice to them. Okay, can you see that? I think it's in verse 8. Okay, in verse 8 it says, "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken unto the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign." Okay, now a sign, it has a voice. Okay, he told Moses that if they don't heed the voice of the first sign, they'll heed the voice of this latter sign. A voice is defined as the sound or sounds uttered through the mouth of living creatures, especially of the human beings in speaking, shouting, and singing, etc. Okay, that's significant because it means that the signs that God uses with us as human beings will be in our language. Okay, now follow this. They didn't speak outrightly, right? It may be some physical circumstance. It may be some situational experience or some sort of a thing that is happening, but it will speak to us in a way that is easy for us to understand. Okay, God knows the language of the human being. He created it. Okay, so if God wants to make a point, if God wants to get a message across to us and he gives a sign, that sign will have a voice that we recognize. It will speak to us in a way that connects, in other words. You know, the Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. Okay, so it makes sense that what he is trying to express to us through a sign is not going to be difficult to understand. You don't have to be a mathematician and, you know, figure out what God's saying. You don't have to be a, you know, an astrologist and be able to understand the stars to know what God is saying to us. Okay? We don't have to be a nuclear scientist or, you know, think of a smart person. I don't know who that would be. Whatever you do, probably. As a very smart person, okay, you don't even have to be that smart to be able to recognize what it is that God is saying. Somebody say thank you, Jesus, for that, okay? Because God could make it really hard to know him, but he doesn't, okay? He could make it hard to understand what is God up to, but he doesn't, Okay, God wants you to understand. He doesn't want you to be confused. Confusion is not from God. Okay, in fact, when the Bible uses the term sign that we're talking about this morning, it generally refers to an object or an occurrence that makes a particular insight or perception possible. Okay, in other words, God is going to give a sign that opens your eyes. It makes it possible for you to understand what he's trying to say. In this case that we were just talking about, God wanted the Egyptians, okay, and Pharaoh in particular, to get the point that God was backing up Moses, right? God says, you do this, and if they don't hear that, do this, then they will know. Okay, if they don't heed this sign, they're going to heed the voice of this sign, and they'll know. Okay, God was giving it so that they would be able to know exactly what he was trying to get across. Okay, things like leprosy appearing and disappearing, or a rod that turns into a snake and then back again, or water that turns into blood right before your eyes. Okay, those were instantly revealing to the Egyptians that they were to let the Israelites go free so they could worship God, because it was not just Moses' idea. Okay, it was, this is bigger than Moses. That's what those signs told them. Okay, a sign is what God uses to help us understand something. Okay, and staying in line with God's way of loving us, okay, and not making us a robot. How many wish God would make you a robot? Anybody? I do sometimes. Just a little while, till I got the hang of it, then he can kind of back off. No, God doesn't do that because he loves us. Okay, he doesn't force us or program us except through the Holy Spirit to do his will. Oftentimes the signs that God gives us are not so much a stop sign as they are an icy bridge or a slippery when wet sign. Does that make sense? God is not just blatant throwing it out there that stop and then make you do it. Okay, he gives you that bridge may be slippery when wet or icy when cold kind of thing. And so we have to be aware then of the surroundings and put that together with the sign that God gives. Then it makes sense. Okay, then the light goes on for us. Okay, you have to be aware of your surroundings and put it together with the information that the sign, okay, in order to fully comprehend it so that you understand. And once you understand the intention, that you can act accordingly. Okay, you must stop and think, is the road wet? Okay, if it's slippery when wet, is the road wet? That's pretty easy. I think anybody, this big on up could probably tell you if it had rained or the road was wet or dry, right? And again, God doesn't want it to be hard for you. Okay? He wants it to be easy for you to see the sign and be able to put it together. Okay, I want to give you an example. Think about the instance when Judas's kiss served as a sign to reveal Jesus' identity to the men that were assigned to seize him. Do you remember that? And Judas tells them, I'll give you a sign. The one that I kiss is the one you should go and get. Okay? And so he used that as a sign. In fact, Matthew 26:48 says it this way. It says, now he that betrayed him, Judas, gave them a sign saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. Okay, they're saying that's the one that you need to grab. Okay, now as soon as he greeted Jesus with a kiss, the soldiers that were with him knew instantly who to arrest. Right? That was the sign. There's the sign. They all saw it. Okay, if you think about that scene though, they all saw the sign, but they didn't have to grab Jesus immediately. It wasn't like, he kissed him and boom, they were on him before Judas even let go of him. Okay, it was more like that's the sign. Now all the soldiers could look at each other and nod, right? They all knew that's the one. And they look around to make sure their buddy saw him give that kiss. Yep, that's the one. Everybody on the same page, we know which one. See how they all gathered. They knew the scene was coming. When they saw the sign, the information from that sign instantly put them into a state of readiness. Okay, now we know that's the one. And then they waited probably for Judas to step back a little bit, and then they seized Jesus or had the conversation, I think is the way that one went. Okay, but they could all look each other over and know that they needed to act on that sign. They all made sure they're on the same page. In other words, no more information from that point on. They had the sign, right? If you have the sign, that's the one. I don't need to. Maybe we need to get information. We don't need that, right? They knew that was Jesus was the one. Well, many of the signs of the times, okay, what we're talking about in this series, many of the signs of the times that God is giving to us right now are kind of like that. They've been given to us to put us on alert. Okay? Something that, you know, Christians should be able to look over at each other and kind of smile and nod, saying, hey, are you seeing the sign I'm seeing? Because when Christians all start seeing the sign and you all start getting on the same page, you kind of look at each other and you're like, yep, this is it. I see it coming. Okay, you know that the devil's time is getting short. Okay, and so we know that is kind of in the air, right? We know that there's something coming. Okay, and as soon as we start seeing certain signs, we can be put on alert with the other Christians as to, okay, here's the next step. Here's what we need to do next. Here's what's about to happen. Now, to help with that, you follow me so far? Okay. To help with that, something that is unique about how God gives signs is that he often uses things like seasons to help people to see them. Okay, in other words, a season is something that you can literally see a change taking place, right? So it gets to be what, September, October, somewhere in there, and we start seeing the leaves turn orange and yellows. And what does that mean? It means it's fall, right? A season is changing. We all see the sign, okay? And we can all act accordingly. We know that fall is coming. Or the same in the spring when, you know, the temperatures start warming up and the grass starts turning from brown to green again. And we start seeing that it's a season is changing. We know that there's something that is happening. Okay, well, Jesus was often asked about signs because people started referring to him as the Christ. They started, you know, when he says, whom do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Holy One of God. You know, you're the Messiah. People started using that language to describe Jesus. And guess what that did? It put people on alert that the season is changing. If this truly is the Christ, something's about to happen. And they got on this alert that they could see because of what was going on around them. Okay, they wanted to know then. So people started coming to Jesus, even the disciples, even the Pharisees, we're going to read in a minute. But other people would come to Jesus, tell us, what are the signs? We're going to get to that next week. What are the signs of thy coming? Okay, and so they began to ask Jesus these things because they wanted to know when or what does this look like? What's the real? I mean, we see the season changing. We know there's a sign coming. What is that sign so that we don't miss it? Okay, well, at this point, okay, in this series, we're talking about the signs of the times. And I want to do a disclaimer, okay, something to just, because I don't want to get too caught up in something, or I don't want you to get too caught up in it. You need to know this. I do not seek after signs, nor do I recommend that you seek after or desire signs. Okay, the signs are not for us to seek after till we find them. It's not a hidden treasure. Okay, the signs are something that, you know, if you go around asking God for signs all the time, God, give me a sign for this, God, give me a sign for that. Okay, you're going to open yourself up to be deceived. Because the enemy is going to use that in the last days to say, lo, here is Christ. Or, lo, there is Christ. Okay, that's scripture that says that, tells us that's going to happen. Or when we start seeing things happening, we start knowing that, you know, that there's things are changing, and we're going to get into that in the next couple weeks. But as we start seeing that things are starting to happen, we're starting to see these signs, we can start looking for more signs, and we'll find them in the wrong places. We'll find the wrong stuff if you're seeking after signs. Okay, a sign to me is something rather that God does in God's timing to reveal something He wants us to know. Okay, it is God doing it in God's timing, just like salvation, right? You can't save yourself. God had to do that. Okay, God wants to do the sign giving. Okay, He's not going to have you have to search real hard for it either. Okay, it is simply then something that I need to discern the sign. I need to see it, recognize it, and then act accordingly. Okay, that's what the signs are about. Okay, and I'm going to show you this because Jesus even rebuked the religious Pharisees, the Sadducees, because they were telling Him, they were telling Jesus, give us a sign so that we can believe. Okay, how many people have heard that before? If I just had a sign, I'd believe. God, just show me something and I'll believe. God is saying, you believe and I'll show you something. Right? Okay, He wants it to be the other way around. And instead of us having to wait on God to show us something before we'll act, watch this. It's in Matthew chapter 16. The first four verses. It says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came. And tempting Him, they desired Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. Jesus answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And He left them and departed. Now, as Luke, another one of the disciples, recalls this exact same conversation with Jesus, he doesn't stop there. He goes on to explain a little bit of what that meant when he said, no sign will be given you except the sign of Jonas. And I want to read that to you. It's in Luke 11, 29. He says, and when the people were gathered thick together, He began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, one greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented. Catch that. They repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, one greater than Jonah is here. Okay, can you see what Jesus is saying and kind of how He's saying it? He says, you can tell when the bridges may be icy, but you're not aware enough to see the signs of My coming. Okay, God is not making it difficult to see what is happening right now. In fact, many of the signs that people will be looking for in the end times have already been given. Okay, they've already happened, or they are currently taking place right now. Our focus right now is that we need to recognize the common characteristic of the signs that are currently fulfilled or being fulfilled or soon will be, and that is that those signs are intensifying. Okay, the awareness of them, more and more people are aware of what is happening. Okay, more and more people can see what is about to happen. Many of the signs that we're going to look over and that we're going to look at over the next couple weeks are so in-your-face, blunt, They're so real and realistic that only people, I think, that have a seared conscience, and we're going to read about that in the next couple weeks, only people that have a seared conscience are going to not be able to see them. Okay? Or those that are willingly allowing themselves to be deceived. Okay, that choose not to seek God, but to seek many gods or whatever. They're going to be gone pretty quickly. Okay, they'll get caught up in that stuff. Or those that are outright rebelling against God, they will not be able to see them like the Christian should. Okay, God's judgment on mankind, God's judgment on the rebellion of mankind and on sin and wickedness is coming to the earth. I just heard this week someone that I pay attention to was talking about the things that are happening. You know how we can see what seems like darkness is abounding and evil is getting worse and things are happening right now. He pointed to the fact that Jesus shakes things up so that only what remains will be of Him. Okay, there is a shaking going on in the body of Christ. I've seen it for the last 2 years. I've been telling you about it and New Year's messages and whatever else, that there's a shaking. There is a dividing of the sheep from the goats. It's beginning. You're starting to see it take place right now. Okay, where the Lord is doing what the Lord does and causing things to happen. I think the signs are very clear. Okay, right now. Construction ahead. Okay, that's what I see. Construction ahead. I see the sign that says curvy roads. I see the sign that says bump. Okay, you ever see one of those? You're driving along, it says bump. You know that means there is a bump ahead of you. Okay, and when you see that sign, you slow down, you take caution, you pay attention because you're about to hit a bump. Okay, that's what's coming in our society right now. Okay, there is construction ahead, and it's going to include a bump. Okay, and at that bump, anything that is not fastened down, anything that is not solid, is going to go somewhere. Okay, and again, I'll end with a UPS story. But in UPS, we had bumps that I called them load tippers. Okay, a load tipper. It meant a groove that was diagonal that you had to hit with a UPS truck with all your packages in there, throws everything, one side, back side, and then sits up straight. It was a load tipper. Everything that was on your shelves is now in the middle of your floor in one big pile, okay? And that's kind of what I see happening, is that there's going to be a load tipping happening, okay? Where we're going to hit some stuff, and the body of Christ is already going through it. You watch the headlines that are coming out, they're more and more Christians are falling. I just saw statistics yesterday on the numbers of people that are in ministry versus number of people that are leaving ministry versus the number of people that are entering into the ministry, meaning they're going to seminary or mentoring or studying. And the numbers aren't looking good right now. Okay, and God is going to use that because it's going to narrow down to the few. Okay, the few, like we talked about last week, that prepare and put oil in their lamps and get ready for the return of the bride. Okay, it's all coming together sooner rather than later. So let's be ready. Let's be ready for what's about to come on the earth. Okay, let's be that body of Christ that bands together that says, you know what, when things hit the fan, I got somebody to go through it with. We're going to stick together. Okay, that kind of unity is going to be required in the last days. Father, we are praising you this morning. I give you the glory, Father. You're showing and revealing things to us as your people because you love us, Lord. I pray that our awareness is heightened. I pray that we can see what is happening around us and not look away from it, Lord, not be distracted, but Lord, that we see it, acknowledge it, and act accordingly, that we prepare ourselves, that we help speak into other people's lives to help them get into the fold and to get ready for the return of our Lord. Father, I pray that we are in a place of unity, Father, as we enter these days and the times ahead, Lord, that we will get stronger together, Lord, that we draw nigh unto you and draw near to one another, that we unify, Father, as a unified light, a force that can't be darkened. Father, let us walk it out as we walk in your power, your presence, your glory,
We give you all the praise for it, Lord. Our life belongs to you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.